Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Liberty Counsel files an emergency petition before the United States Supreme Court on behalf of our California churches. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, Holly, we recently filed an emergency petition to the U.S. Supreme Court asking for an injunction pending appeal while the case is still pending at the Court of Appeals of the Ninth Circuit. This involves Harvest Rock Church and its various campuses and Harvest International Ministry, which has 162 churches in California. And this is a situation where California has the worst restrictions on churches and places of worship in the entire country, because for much of the state of California, there is no worship allowed, zero. And that also includes even in private homes, no Bible studies, no religious meetings. And a violation is a criminal charge up to a year in prison and a daily fine of $1,000.
Yeah, they truly have a dictator in Newsom. But these local officials are chiming in as well and handing out these letters and threatening prison, daily criminal charges, fines, even threatening to close the church.
Yeah, and in fact, we have a letter from the Planning and Community Development Department Code Enforcement Division for the city of Pasadena, which is where Harvest Rock Church is located, and also a letter from the Pasadena Office of the City Attorney Criminal Prosecutor. And in these two letters, the public health letter threatens to close down the church. The prosecutor threatens daily criminal charges and a $1,000 daily fine against the pastors, the church, the governing board, the staff, and the parishioners. So this is what's hanging over their head. Now, we already argued at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals for an emergency injunction pending appeal, and we got a 2-1 decision, a very short majority opinion that was weak in its reasoning, and a very detailed, well-reasoned decision that was a dissent or a dissenter. And so we are asking the full Court of Appeals for a total rehearing on that with all of the judges. In the meantime, whether we get that or not, there will be another hearing at the Court of Appeals for us on the underlying merits of the case, but that's not until early 2021. In the meantime, we've got all these criminal charges of threats and closure of church and daily fines hanging over the heads of everyone who attends these churches every single day. And so we have now a new Supreme Court with Justice Amy Coney Barrett replacing Justice Ginsburg. And that's why, because of all of these different factors, we decided to go to the U.S. Supreme Court asking for an emergency injunction pending appeal. And that's where we are right now. So continue to pray for this case. It would be a very significant decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that would literally, I think, not only give protection for our churches, but send shockwaves and a message that you can't continue to violate the First Amendment like these governors are doing.
You know, just in backing up, back in March when this whole corona thing came out and it became an issue and churches were asked to close for protection and for health and safety, et cetera, they complied. They said, okay, for 2 weeks we can do this. You know, we're agreeable. We want to protect people. But then 2 weeks turned into months, and now we're at the end of the year. So you see, this is way out of hand. This is more than what a coronavirus, you know, is about. This is more about discrimination and controlling these churches.
And Governor Newsom in California continues to clamp down. In fact, for Thanksgiving last week, he had these outrageous dictates.
Right. That, I mean, a 10 p.m. curfew, for one thing.
Yeah, he imposed
like
a 10
children.
P.m. curfew. I don't know how that has anything to do with this coronavirus, but he opposed a 10 p.m. curfew. But for Thanksgiving, he said Thanksgiving can be no more than 2 hours from start to finish, outside, no food on the table, all disposable serving utensils and bowls and plates and cups. single serve. You can use the restroom inside, but only briefly if it's sanitized frequently. And it goes on and on. No more than three households. So the host household has to bear the whole burden for Thanksgiving. And that would be the same for, no doubt, Christmas coming up.
Right.
And you couldn't have somebody come over to help you. And your family and guest from two other households, that's the max, can't come into your house except to use the restroom. I mean, that's just unbelievable. And he's doing the same thing to churches. And like I said, there's no worship. I'm talking about if you meet with one other person in one of these churches in the no worship counties in California, it's criminal. Right. If you go to your next door neighbor in an apartment or condo complex, or cross the street or go to the next yard in a residential single family, single dwelling neighborhood, that's criminal to have a Bible study with them.
But yet we included a picture of him recently at a restaurant with a group of people close together, no mask, no social distancing, nothing, in a public restaurant having dinner, some of which were medical professionals in this. That picture is in our brief showing, okay, you do this, but yet churches can't meet?
Yeah, and then at the same time, he says churches can't meet, and he's telling the protesters, God bless you, keep doing it. I hear you, and keep doing it. And these are tens, and in one case, 100,000 protesters. Tens of thousands, and in one case, 100,000. So there's just a lot of hypocrisy.
You see the discrimination. It's blatant.
You know, they give. It's like you can understand the reason for the origination of the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta ultimately came to stand for that even the king is under the law. And what happened back then is the king was just dictating. This was before the founding of America. And the king was dictating and dictating and dictating. And the people just finally got upset with it because the king would make rules and not abide by them, just like these governors. They make these rules, but it's not for them. It's only for the peasants. And the people rose up and they revolted. And so that's where you get this Magna Carta. And it became a foundational document through history thereafter, and even influenced the United States of America. And the proposition that came out of that is even the king is under the law. Well, in the United States, we have a constitution. Yet these governors pretend like it doesn't exist.
They act like they're exempt from the law.
They act like they are
create.
The law and that they're exempt from anything that they do.
Right.
So
or say. Yeah.
And that you as just subservient peasants are going to have to obey everything they say.
Right, you're under my control.
Well, he issued a blueprint on August the 28th. This is just another one of his many, many orders that he's done throughout the year. And this is called the blueprint. That's a short name for it. August 28th. And it has four tiers. Tier one, which is where Harvest Rock Church and some of its affiliates are, its campuses, is a no worship zone. Tier two, 25% occupancy, but no more than 100 people. Tier 3, 50% occupancy, but no more than 200 people. Well, the problem is that when you look at tiers 2 and 3, guess what? You have in those particular areas things such as gyms, fitness centers, museums, family entertainment centers, retail, shopping malls, big box centers, warehouses, destination centers, swap meets, and more that have no numerical cap on the number of people that can congregate in the building. Now, these kinds of gatherings would be similar to people coming to church, and yet they don't have an ultimate cap. Our cap, when you get into tier two, is 25%, but no more than 100 people. It doesn't matter whether you have a 10,000 seat sanctuary, you can't have any more than 100. But if you're a gym, or you're one of these other museums or a family destination center, there's no ultimate numerical cap.
Right. So bottom line, he doesn't see that churches are essential. He doesn't see the benefit of people worshiping the Lord together.
So pray for the case. It's Harvest Rock Church versus Newsom. And it also includes, obviously, Harvest International Ministry. We represent Pastor Cheon of Harvest Rock Church and all these different churches combined. There's about 170 almost in California. Our case now is pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. This is the second case, by the way. We have the Illinois Romanian Church case that is pending there as well. We filed a petition for full review. That's pending. We should get some decision on that in the near future. And this is the second church case that we have pending there on an emergency basis. So pray for our cases. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.